My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, the Trump administration thinks climate change is a scam and wants to encourage fossil fuels. And as part of that, now has the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement. It's there to give a boost to the coal mining industry. It even has a cute mascot named Coley. Do devices like that really change people's thinking? We're joined by Lorcan Nyhan from the Communications Clinic. Good afternoon, Lorcan.
Good afternoon.
Did you see Coley and immediately think, wow, coal mining, I'm all for it now?
Yeah, I thought I love coal. You know, yeah. Black Lung is great, actually, yeah. Now that we have the animated figure. Yeah, so this is Coley. Has been around for a while, but has now kind of got a rebrand. Doug Burgum, who's the Interior Secretary, launched Coley. People give an idea. It's a lump of coal, googly eyes, Mickey Mouse gloves, hard hat on, and very cute animated figure. But then the tagline with it is mine baby mine, and it's time for the American energy dominance agenda to come in. So like, they've been very open about trying to kind of cleanse the image of coal, and this is their attempt to do it.
But they don't say, as I understand it, they're not calling Coley a mascot. Coley is a spokesperson
for the coal industry. So the Trump administration has, you know, redirected $500 million from attempts to kind of revitalize coal into other areas, but then it's put $650 million into kind of revitalizing coal as an industry rather than in the areas. So they want to bring coal back. Coal has gone from 50% of the energy of the US to 15%. They want to bring coal back. They want to bring it back. One of the reasons they want to bring it back is because of the energy demand from data centers. So that's pretty bleak in and of itself. And then Trump has openly said that coal needs a better PR job, and he's basically said that you're not allowed to call it coal in his office anymore. It's clean, beautiful coal. And it's that kind of very subtle manipulation that Trump is famous for, that he is trying, and Coley is the face of this. It takes its inspiration really from what they do in Japan, and there is a big culture in Japan of using these cute spokespeople mascots for government agencies, and the thinking is that you see it, you're immediately coded to think unthreatening, cute, calm, and to overcome that, you have to think, and a lot of people maybe won't think and will just go along with the message that they're given to by Coley or somebody similar.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's more of a culture of anime and that kind of thing in Japan, so it's more deeply ingrained in the culture.
Yeah, so it's incredibly deeply ingrained in Japan, particularly since after World War II, the government needed to kind of win back support and sanitize its image, and so they tapped into anime culture within it, and so like the police would have their own mascot who's this little mouse who sanitizes the image. My favourite one was for the nuclear industry, where they had Pluto Ken for a while, who was a little fella with nice big eyes with the atomic symbol for plutonium on his hat, and he was all, plutonium is safe actually, and there was one had where he drank plutonium and that went too far
He
drank and there was no issue, so he was then discontinued. But there's a real culture of it in Japan. Like, political parties would have anime versions of their leaders. It hasn't quite come into the Western politics. I think the reason why it has in this situation is because the AI model that clearly created Coley, because you can, it's quite obviously an AI generated figure, is obviously then taking the inspiration from the anime figures of Japan and corporate aspects in Japan. So I don't think that the Trump administration went out to copy Japan. I think they said, give me a spokesperson who is cute, and AI popped out, well, this is what it looks like in Japan, so here you go. So that's just another layer of bleakness to the whole thing. I don't think they've even thought about this.
It's not the first time though in the Western world, if you like, that people have used mascots, or, you know,
they've used if we look at politics specifically, and there's a history, I suppose, of cartoons. And let's stick with the US. I mean, everybody would know that the donkey is associated with the Democratic Party. The reason that is associated with the Democratic Party is because Andrew Jackson, original Democratic president, not the best person in the world, but he was compared to a jackass because he was so stubborn. He took that on as his badge, saying, you know, you throw that at me. No, actually, yeah, I am stubborn, but I'm also hardworking and I'm down and I'm humble, etc. He took on the donkey. That then got further popularized by a guy called Thomas Nast, who was a cartoonist for Harper Weekly. So a really famous cartoonist. He took on that idea of the donkey and popularized it, and it became the badge of the Democratic Party. He also did the elephant for the Republican Party. The idea it was a bit lumbering. He also popularized, didn't come up with, but popularized Uncle Sam, and also popularized Santa Claus, or the modern image of Santa Claus. So he was quite influential as a cartoonist. Not a bad list. Yeah. You then would have had World War II, where Disney was used a lot. Donald Duck in particular was used in a lot of propaganda, around anti-Nazi propaganda. You had something called the Squander Bug in the UK at the same time, which was a cartoon government drawn posters, which was effectively trying to promote rationing and for people to put money into war bonds instead of buying stuff for themselves. So it was this idea of don't feed the Squander Bug. Dr. Seuss took that then and brought it to the US, and so Dr. Seuss would have had the Squander Bug in the US. So like, there is a history of using cartoons for political propaganda or promotion, however you want to define it. But this is probably the first time that real obvious kind of Japanese style has come into the US. And it's also, look, it's emblematic of a shift in the US, which is, it used to be a little bit subtler. You know, talking about how the Republicans used to use language to manipulate and confuse. Donald Trump doesn't do subtle. So it's a lot more obvious now. And that's kind of the shift that he has brought through, where he's not really trying to pretend coal is all right. He's just saying, we know it's not, but we're just going to call it beautiful and clean, and eventually you might believe us. Yeah. So he's a lot more obvious in his lies, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a wider debate, I suppose. The use, though, of mascots or little anime, does it work? Especially if we're trying to make something that's quite dangerous appear cute.
Yeah, look, it works on one level. Like, it does. Like, humans are coded to immediately have instinctive reactions that they don't always think through. And we are coded to instinctively think kind of cute is good. There's a fascinating study that was done in Siberia over 60 years where they took Siberian foxes. And they picked for tameness and domesticity, and they wanted to show kind of Darwinism in action. And they said, if you select for tameness, that trait, eventually you see them change. Their eyes get bigger, the ears get smaller, the tails droop down more, they get more playful, and you can actually see the flow from wild to domestic. Yeah, but that's because humans react better to like big eyes, small. And so there is a thing coded in us, which is that, well, that's not threatening, and therefore, and so if you put any bit of logical thought into it, it falls apart. But the truth of the matter is, the vast majority of people go about their lives, Sean, and they don't think too deeply about politics because they have bills to pay, they have their own biases knocking around their head, they kind of want coal maybe in some areas because they might not see the impacts of it. And so if you don't then logic yourself past your initial emotional reaction, then yes, it does work. And I would argue they probably wouldn't have been doing it in Japan for as long as they have been doing it if it didn't in some way work. Mm-hmm. So we might look at Coley and think, we know that, you know, coal has killed, you know, 500,000 people in the last 20 years in the US alone.
There are lawsuits ongoing with people who have, you know, their lungs rotted away.
Yeah, and like, obviously the real extreme element of this is the Trump administration is pulling back environmental protections, is pumping up the coal industry, is taking away supports for coal miners who have black lung, and while at the same time putting this cutesy figure in front of it. But you also need to remember there's a massive amount of people in all politics, but particularly in the US at the moment, who want to believe that the administration that they voted for is doing the right thing, is right, because that's their side. And so some of this stuff, like, I don't think it's game changing. I don't think everybody's going to be suddenly, you know, be like, oh, coal is great, and I really want to go down the coal mines once again. But it's, I suppose, symbolic of a degree of political communication that does work, but also of a shift towards, we're doing this and we're doing it anyway. And you know what? You might think it's ridiculous that we put a googly eye coal on it, but you know what? I'm allowed to do it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
People who don't want to think about it too much, they give it that, it gives them that little nudge to think about it even less.
It's the instinctive reaction. It's a different version of there's a reason why the sweets are next to the cash register when you go to the shop, because you know you might not really fully make the conscious decision, but it's there, and before you even know it,
your child has put it in the shopping basket. Usually what happens.
So it's trying to get people's instinctive emotional kind of limbic system reactions, and that's why they use. But look, why do all companies use marketing and branding? It's because in some ways it works. Like there's really interesting studies that will, you know, blind taste test different beers and say like, which one of those do you actually like? And then we'll ask people their preference on beer and which ones do you like? And very often the ones that they hate the most are the ones they think they like the most, because the marketing and the branding has convinced them that no, that lovely Italian beer is the cool one I like, when actually they think it tastes like paint strip.
Yeah. Is it though? Is there a degree of cultural specificity here in the sense that, as we said, Japan, a history of anime, maybe it works a bit because of the history of Disney. But in Ireland, if we started getting cutesy mascot versions of, you know, Micheál Martin.
Micheál Martin. It'd
be a subject for ridicule.
Yeah, with a little Hurley and big eyes. Yeah. It would get ridiculed. But it's the same reason I think that we are in some way inoculated to a fair amount of what happens in other cultures, because our politics is more local. We are relatively smaller. We do, like all the researchers say, you know, people listen to more great radio. They read more newspapers. They're a little bit more politically aware actually here than they are. So like there's a reason, the nickname thing, let's say, hasn't come in here either. You know, like the Trump nickname thing. People about 10 years ago, I was on things like this and people said to me, oh, that's going to come into Irish politics and they're going to do it. And I'm saying, do you know what? It won't actually, because people just wouldn't take it seriously. They wouldn't actually react well to it. It's a different environment. We have a very different politics and it hasn't come in because it wouldn't work. So a lot of this stuff people try to pull lessons from, and it doesn't actually fully work in the environment. Some of it works, but because we're a little bit more inoculated to that style of politics, we don't have a history of it. I don't think we can expect to see it here anytime soon.
Aren't we great? Lorcan, thanks a million for coming in to us today. That was Lorcan Nyhan there from the Communications Clinic.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.